This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Paul Astabrooks. He's a minister at large for Open Doors International, and he's also the author most recently of Night of a Million Miracles, about an operation to smuggle a million Bibles into China in the early 1980s. Today we want to get his thoughts on the persecution of Christians in a very brutal fashion in Pakistan, and also get his thoughts on what happened in the last couple of days in North Korea, which, according to Open Doors USA, is the world's worst persecutor of Christians. And Paul, thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Well, it was over the weekend, I believe, in Pakistan, where over a dozen people were killed, a dozen Christians killed, because of an alleged desecration of a Quran. Explain to our listeners exactly what happened and why there was such a violent reaction.
Well, it began a week ago Sunday. There was a wedding in a town called Korian in northeast Pakistan. And at the same time, there was a Muslim funeral going on. And apparently some of the people in the funeral party were not too happy about the celebration sounds they could hear from this wedding that was going on in the Christian community. Part of the celebration and weddings of Pakistan is to throw currency notes and coins in the air, and the kids scramble to get them, etc., kind of like a piñata, we would call it. And the next day after this wedding and Muslim funeral, some Muslim extremists came to the parents of the bride and claimed that they had evidence that when they, instead of throwing currency in the air, these Christians had cut out currency-sized notes from the Holy Quran of the Muslim faith and were throwing them in the air and stomping on them. This has not been substantiated. In fact, the Punjab Minister for Law, Rana Sulanaya, has claimed that there's no evidence at all of this desecration. But that was the claim, of course, and that's all it takes to get an angry mob going. And so this mob on the 30th of July, last Thursday, attacked the Christian community in the town. Basically, everybody ran. I mean, they were terrified. One elderly couple who were paralyzed, I mean, they're handicapped people, stayed, and they left them alone, although they wouldn't give them any bread or water or anything at all. So these people ran to the near town of Gojra, and in Gojra, of course, the challenges and the claims continued. So last Saturday, a very large crowd attacked the Christian community in this town, and it left 60 houses were gutted 2 days before in Korian, and now 50 homes were burned down in Gojra, and 14 people left dead. The authorities tried to stop the crowd, but there were only four policemen to a crowd of 1,000-plus angry militant Muslims. And so they burned down the Catholic Church in that community. They killed at least 14 people. Some of them were women and children that they wouldn't allow out of the fire. They blocked the road so the fire trucks couldn't get to help put out the fires, and it created an incredible challenge.
We're talking with Paul Astabrooks of Open Doors International. And Paul, those listening to this will say, well, if it were my faith, I'd be outraged if someone alleged or certainly proved to me that someone had desecrated the Bible. And those of the Jewish faith may say the same thing. But it wouldn't necessarily trigger this violent reaction. And in almost every case, it hasn't triggered that kind of reaction. What is it inside the radical mindset that causes people to lash out in this despicable way, even when a situation is unproven, as it was with this case with the Quran?
Well, that's the ultimate question, and we aren't really sure of that, except that even the authorities in Pakistan feel that Islamist militants were behind this, and they were outsiders, so to speak, not people actually from that community. And there was another attack in another town earlier in July. This is the third attack in 1 month that's occurred up in that area, and it's generally considered to have been initiated by those from outside. And of course, they then whip up the crowd into frenzy. Much of it happened through the loudspeakers of the mosque, where they call out for people to defend the faith of Islam, which is being desecrated and being challenged and threatened. And of course, the people respond, and they're led by these people who give them ideas of what to do. And then it doesn't take long for a mob to just go crazy.
We're talking with Paul Esterbrooks. We mentioned he's the author most recently of Night of a Million Miracles. A couple of years ago, he also wrote a book called Escape from North Korea about a family who did just that, Open Doors USA, which is, of course, an affiliated organization and really part of the same organization, has declared for many years North Korea to be the world's worst persecutor of Christians. And Paul, obviously, in the past couple of days, North Korea has been in the headlines with former President Clinton going over there and successfully negotiating the release of those two American reporters who had been sentenced to a dozen years of hard labor. You've obviously studied this country very carefully. You know the mindset as best as anyone can of this regime in North Korea. What do you make of what happened over the past 24 to 48 hours?
I was actually pleasantly surprised. I think that's good. It's interesting that Kim Jong-il has always wanted to meet Bill Clinton, and that seems to have been part of the negotiations in order to get these gals released. He is very much a strongman ruler, and as his father, has total control of the largest military in Asia, and is very much in control there. There seems to be some theory that there may be a power struggle going on in the background politically in the country, which, being such a secretive country, is very difficult to assess from outside. But he by being so public as he was with Bill Clinton, simply again revealed that he's still very much in control, very much alive, even though reports of his ill health are rampant, and reportedly, you know, he is suffering from very terminal cancer. But he is still very much in control. And, of course, they've always been terrified of the United States ever since the war in the 1950s, which they never declared over. There was an armistice signed, which they've denied being even a part of now. They still believe that the USA is on a war footing with North Korea, and that's what they teach their children. And they're always, you know, waiting for this great attack. And so they're supposedly defending themselves through all these development of missiles and challenges that we're hearing about recently. There was a report just a few weeks ago that was throughout the secular media as well, that a Christian woman was executed. Simply because she was a Christian. And, of course, they suspect Christians of being allied with the U.S. CIA, which is true in many countries of the world where Christianity is perceived as a U.S. religion. Of course, that's hardly true when you consider the Middle East roots, but that's the perception, and these are the challenges that Christians face in countries like North Korea.
Last question before we let you go. Some are obviously saying this is great. Most people, I think, are happy that the reporters are released. Others say this could embolden the regime, which, as we mentioned, is already, in your mind, the world's worst persecutor. What could that mean for Christians in North Korea?
Well, that is yet to be seen, and we certainly hope it won't create more challenge. But up until now, believers are very, very pressured and threatened, and it's simply because Christianity is illegal in the country. We estimate there are as many as 75,000 to 100,000 Christians in those labor camps throughout the country, but possibly as many as 400,000 believers in secret house churches throughout North Korea as well. And our main concern is to ask people to pray for them and to be involved in assisting them, which we do very quietly and in a program that's in the area, as well as doing what we can to speak out on their behalf because of being in the most severely persecuted country in the world.
Paul, unfortunately, we need to stop there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Paul Esterbrooks, Minister-at-Large for Open Doors International, author most recently of Night of a Million Miracles. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.